Footy Roundup with you again, Rob Serjanik and Matt Tidcombe. Jumping right into things with the round of 16, some crazy competitive games, lots went to extra time, a couple of others nearly did. There were surprises across the board, Matt. It was an absolutely wild slate of games.
Yeah, five of the eight games went to extra time. A couple of them also went to penalties too. Very unpredictable. I guess you could argue a couple of shockers in there, maybe Colombia knocking off Uruguay. And obviously Germany being stretched by Algeria the whole way into extra time. I mean, lots of back and forth, but they were wildly, wildly entertaining games.
Yeah, all of them were. Brazil-Chile, I've talked to you about this one before. I think Brazil's very fortunate again. Pinay hit the crossbar in the 119th minute for them. They also,
got a tattoo to celebrate the situation.
Maybe self-motivation, bizarre. And then their fifth penalty shot taker, his name escapes me, he also hit the inside of the goalpost with a chance to tie. I've been thoroughly unimpressed and unconvinced by Brazil all the way through. Granted, you know, they found a way to progress each stage, but they really look completely uninspiring at home for large stretches.
I agree. I think Chile were actually the better side and against Brazil in the round of 16. Brazil, just, they've been so inconsistent. At times they've looked really good and other times they've looked terrible. I mean, Neymar didn't do a thing at all in the round of 16 against Chile. He was, you know, almost non-existent for the most part. They don't look all that inspiring, as you said. I wouldn't say I particularly favor them to win the tournament, that's for sure. And I think they lacked a little confidence. Maybe the pressure got to them. I guess now they're bringing in some people to help them mentally going into the quarterfinals because of how difficult they found the game against Chile. I mean, you got to feel sorry for Chile. They were so, so close. You know, crossbar and, you know, last minute of extra time. Then obviously the penalty. I was one of the worst penalty shootouts I've seen in a long time. Just terrible penalties, some good saves as well, a couple of nice goals, but really up and down, out of control for large parts as well. But overall, I mean, great game, entertaining to say the least. But yeah, I don't feel too confident in how Brazil are looking right now to win the whole thing.
It's heart-wrenching the way it all played out for the Chileans. I don't know that you could have scripted in any worse way, really, to lose a game.
Right.
They had the tease of, you know, the end of extra time, like 4 or 5 inches below. The guys, a national hero, were all talking about Chile. I'm, you know, backing up my own bus here about my Chile underdog. Maybe they go all the way if they get through a game like this.
That must
then they get to the shootout, and, you know, quickly, I think the nerves, you're right, the shootout was not of high quality, especially in the beginning. The Chileans shot a couple right at Cesar. I mean, good on him for making the saves, but nothing overly impressive. Before you even knew what happened, now they're down, you know, two shots in the shootout, and you're like, oh, this is over.
Right.
And then they battle right back into it again, and a chance to tie, and it goes off the inside of the post and doesn't skim in, you know?
Literally across the face of the goal, too.
Like, you couldn't ask it to be any more razor thin and any closer than that. But I think Chile can hold their heads high. You know, their group was not easy.
No.
Arturo Vidal was an absolute soldier in that game as well, playing through his injury, and you saw how much it hurt him to come off. But yeah, Brazil onwards and upwards, I suppose, and we'll see where they go from here. The Colombia-Uruguay game, not to plan for Mr. Matt over here.
No, I obviously I picked Uruguay to win this game, but Colombia have just, I think they've maybe been team of the tournament along with France for my eyes.
Agree,
Colombia have just been outstanding. I guess James Rodriguez, what we've been calling him, I guess technically now he wants to go by James Rodriguez.
I know, that's what we've been hearing.
It threw me off.
Even has James on the jersey. It looks hilarious.
It really threw me off that one. But anyway, I guess James Rodriguez, probably player of the tournament. He has been just incredible. He scored both goals to knock out Uruguay, who didn't look great without Suarez. Cavani was just awful. He has had, for my money, he's one of the top strikers in the world, and he just had an absolute shocker of a World Cup.
His impact for Uruguay seems to be minimal most times.
It does, yeah. And this World Cup, I mean, he scored against England in the first game of the tournament from the penalty spot, but after that, he's basically been invisible. He's done nothing. But, you know, going back to Colombia, they look great. James Rodriguez, phenomenal. New star, as they say. I mean, he's still young, 23 years old. Plays at Monaco, who bought him for a lot of money from Porto a couple of years ago. And I guess his stock is on the rise. But when you buy someone for nearly £40 million, I mean, I don't know how much more teams can afford to fork out for him because, you know, teams are going to be interested in his services moving forward here.
Well, it's safe to say that he's been the revelation of this tournament, I think. More than any other player, he's just exploded on the scene, leading the tournament in goals right now with 5. You look who he's ahead of, it's all the who's who of who's in soccer. Mueller, Neymar, Messi, and then above them, Rodriguez.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think anyone, you know, saw this coming. A little bat tap for myself to say that James Rodriguez is one of my guys that I selected to watch as the under-25 players.
Yep.
But I mean, even on that, I expected him to do well. I never saw this kind of performance coming from him, though. He's been truly outstanding.
Player of the tournament so far.
Oh, no question. And I mean, you know, outside of Rodriguez, Colombia have got had some great play from Jackson Martinez, Cuadrado, Gutierrez has looked good, too. I mean, this is somewhat of a one-man show, but, you know, this is a team effort, and they deserve this. And I think the biggest thing we have to take away from this is they don't have Falcao.
Yeah.
And this is how well they're doing. Imagine if they had that guy up front.
Well, the funny thing is, a Colombian friend of mine, we were talking about that situation, and he thinks that in some ways it's actually helping the squad. They're becoming more well-rounded. They're working harder and, you know, depending less on just the singular talisman to get them through. I mean, in an ideal world, I'm sure he would admit as well, you'd rather have Falcao there, but to this point, I think Colombia has been the team I'm most impressed with in this tournament by far, and they're cooking with something here right now.
Well, if Falcao not being there, they've exceeded expectations almost. I mean, you know, I think quarterfinal would have been about where a lot of teams pegged them with Falcao, but when the news came out that he wasn't taking part, I mean, I think people were assuming, well, they might not even get out the group, maybe around a 16 at best, but they've looked in control the whole way. They haven't looked in any problems, and they dominated Uruguay from start to finish.
Absolutely. Moving on to Holland and Mexico, Matt, I can't imagine the Mexicans feeling like they're going to have a better chance than one they just blew catastrophically to get past the round of 16 phase. Like, 3 minutes left, 87th minute, they're up a goal. They don't even get the game to extra time.
No. I mean, it was just, I didn't expect it. I mean, I kind of thought maybe Holland might nick an equalizer, and they did. Beautiful finish from Schneider. Was it Schneider or Robin?
Schneider,
It was Schneider, yeah.
It was his only real contribution to the tournament today.
Yeah, it was. You're right. And then I guess we have to talk about the Robin. Was it a penalty? Was it not a penalty? For my money, it is a penalty. Yes, Robin and blemish, Lolo, he went down rather easy. But at the end of the day, Marquez cannot make that challenge in the box. It was an idiotic decision to try. And he's probably the most experienced guy on the field.
So I agree wholeheartedly. It seems ridiculous nonsense to say that, in my opinion, I think Robin did dive, but he did dive with contact.
Yeah, he did.
Maybe minimal at best, but like you said, someone of Marquez's experience and caliber and the captain of the team, tie game, not really a threat from that position. Just don't stick out your boot because you know someone like Robin is going to try to sell it. He's renowned for that type of behavior.
And then how about old Huntelaar? Came on as a sub earlier in the game, just steps up, boom, tucks the ball away and
just first onto touch, the quarters. Just like
I mean, they obviously brought him on because they were losing with 20 minutes left and he didn't do too much and he just calmly steps up and he came on for Van Persie as well, if I'm not mistaken. So, but yeah, Huntelaar steps up, bangs it in, and I guess Holland are on to the next round.
I would say, Mexico deserve a little bit of credit. I think
they do.
We both undervalued them to a certain degree. And I think, obviously, from the results, I mean, the opponents across the board undervalued them. Brazil struggled. We know what happened with Croatia. And then Holland was heavily favored here. And I don't want to say it was, like, supremely lucky, but it was quite fortunate to get past them at that point. I was ready to text you and say we might look like fools with this
one. We might do. You know, I mean, I guess you got to give Holland some love for the way they... I mean, I guess you say they fought back, but I would hope so if you're fighting back in a World Cup game to make it into the quarterfinals. I think Mexico, one of their players of the tournament was their goalkeeper, Ochoa, though.
Yeah, he was in this game,
too. Had a phenomenal tournament. I mean, I think he would have been a lock for maybe team of the tournament if Mexico had maybe got to the quarters. It's kind of hard to peg around a 16 goalie in there, but he was so influential for them that there might still be a chance. And you feel sorry for him because the two goals Holland scored, you know, Schneider's goal and then the penalty, he didn't really have much of a chance, to be honest.
Moving on to Greece, Costa Rica. We talked about this one at length. We were almost spot on with how this one played out.
Yeah, almost.
You were saying, you know, 0-0 wouldn't surprise me. I told you penalties wouldn't even remotely surprise me. It's basically what we got, and we got more Greece drama late. I mean, the red card happens for Costa Rica. Greece creates some chances, but not, you know, crazy threatening. And then it just seems to fall for them late again. And I think it was a 92nd or 93rd minute this time.
Yeah, I mean, that's Greece all over almost, isn't it? Just kind of lay low and then swoop when it matters most. They have a habit of scoring last-minute goals. You know, they looked awful, though, for the 70 minutes when, you know, after Costa Rica went down to 10 men. Greece, I'm not going to lie, it was an awful game.
Yeah, it hurt to watch it.
When Greece scored, I think I tweeted that, oh, it just means we've got to watch 30 more minutes of this pretty naff game, which is unfortunate. I mean,
Twitter was hilarious just before the goal happened,
yeah,
and even post goal, like, neutrals all around the world were just like, give me a break.
I think a lot of people would have settled for the 1-0 in regular time without having to go through the penalties and extra time as well. But I mean, Costa Rica's Cinderella run continues. I mean, I keep sitting there thinking someone's going to beat them, right? And every round they just keep knocking them off and knocking them off. And I mean, Greece, you know, they're no Italy, England, Uruguay as they knocked off. But Greece are a decent team, right? They're no pushover, that's for sure. And I guess they're on to face Holland now, and maybe that would be where their luck runs out.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's hard to bet against them to some extent because of how well they've done. I mean, Ryan Ruiz has looked fantastic. Joel Campbell. Marco Llorente has been really good for my money without, you know, as one of the lesser names. I mean, a lot of the Costa Rican guys aren't all that well known, but, you know, Marco Llorente has been really good for my money too.
It's really dumbfounding how the Greeks keep doing this. I don't think most people could honestly say once the shootout came along, like, I said Greece was going to win.
Right.
Like, when the shootout got there, this is their MO.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems ridiculous, but I was almost thinking they survived with the extra man to penalties, which was, like, their goal half the time, seemingly.
Yep.
But Costa Rica came up huge. Navas, too, with a couple of huge saves.
Yeah, I mean, they just keep hanging in there, Costa Rica, and then hanging in there, and they kind of get the job done, they get the extra time, take it to penalties, and... You know, I guess, like you said, I thought Greece were going to actually triumph in penalties, but Costa Rica held their nerve. They didn't let that last-minute goal rattle them. They took it to Greece in extra time, despite having a man less, and they were deserving of the win in the end.
Maddie, I'm going to give you the cliche of the day. If you keep playing with fire, you're going to get burnt.
Yeah.
And Greece has been... they've been basically pyrotechnics at this point. Like, something's bound to happen that's not positive eventually. France, Nigeria. I told you last week on our show that I'm fully on board with you with the French. I still am. I mean, they left it rather late. It wasn't all that impressive or convincing.
It wasn't the most convincing of the tournament.
But they didn't really look all that threatened either. And... I guess to counter your James Rodriguez, my guy to watch, Paul Pogba, came up with a big goal late.
He did. You know, France were definitely in control from start to finish. I wouldn't say Nigeria did all that much that really threatened Hugo Lloris in goal or any of the French defenders. It was just it was one of those games you just sat there thinking, all right, is it going to be this attack? Is it going to be this attack? Oh, maybe it'll be the next one.
And they just kept dodging it, yeah.
And Nigeria just kept holding off. And it's kind of a shame that the goal was actually kind of because of some clumsy goalkeeping. You know, as someone who's played in goal for over 15 years, he kind of flapped it, as we like to say. Didn't punch it, didn't try to catch it, tried to almost do nothing with it. And it fell right to Pogba, who just put it in the net. And obviously the second goal actually went down as a lone goal for Yobo, if you watched the highlight close enough.
I
thought it was Griezmann's at first, but
which
would have pleased me. Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, it was an own goal. I mean, France were full money for their victory. They didn't.
How good was any aim in that game, though?
Yeah. Yeah, he was really good.
Unbelievable.
But like I said, it was a shame that it was his mistake in a way that, you know, led to the French goal, for the first goal, that is, for Pogba.
I'm willing to give him a pass. I don't think his team did enough for him. A few moments in the game, he's like, okay, no. I saved it again, 0-0. You guys going to give me something?
Right.
They gave him nothing.
It's almost like Nigeria were like, oh, let's just try and see if we can stretch this to penalties. You know, I mean, they offered nothing up front. Like I said, Hugo Lloris was kind of standing around for a long period of time. And I guess the other thing with Enyema is that he was kind of like the most laid-back goalie in the tournament. There's some photos of him on Twitter just kind of chilling against the goalpost. Even when the ball's like on the edge of the penalty area, it's not really kind of laid-back, pretty chill guy. But I guess it's a shame. He played quite well for this tournament for Nigeria. Kept them in a lot of games. But as for France, I should say, like you said, they didn't look all that inspiring, you know, the way they beat Honduras and Switzerland. But, I mean, at the end of the day, it's just about getting results in this tournament. They never looked in trouble. So 2-0 was probably a fair result. They probably deserved another goal in there somewhere. But
moving on to arguably the most surprising result to some, perhaps, Maddie. I did mention this one to you. Germany-Algeria. I think I said that the Algerians, if they get through the first half hour and maybe settle down, they're playing with house money here. They got nothing to lose. They looked impressive again.
They looked phenomenal.
Yeah.
I mean, Germany won the game in extra time 2-1. But Algeria, they looked brilliant. I mean, you say, like, if they can get through the first half an hour, they didn't even wait half an hour. They just went straight at them.
Yeah.
They had some great chances early on. They were sublime. They really, really were. I guess I would say Germany did probably deserve to win in the end, but it wasn't, don't get me wrong, this was no walk in the park.
No 3-4-0 like some were thinking.
No, and I mean, I'll be honest, I don't know if I would have said 4-0, but maybe a 3-0, 3-1 kind of game. But no, all credit to Algeria. They looked brilliant. Germany, you know, I mean, the big goal, I mean, obviously the first goal is always big in extra time, but to get it just like a minute and a half into the extra time frame,
settled it down,
is really a big time. Andre Schürrle came up with that goal, and then Mehmet Ozil tucked it away in injury time to make it 2-0. And I was like, oh, this is all over. And
until
then Giroud went down the other end and made it 2-1. So, and it, you know, they, you know, kind of the last minute was like, oh, what's going to happen? But nothing really came of any interest. So Germany looking good.
Not great.
But not great.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a, the way we've been talking about a lot of, I mean, the next two teams we're going to talk about here as well for the last
I want to be similar. I think we'd be remiss to not focus on giving Algeria the credit so much as condemning the Germans.
Right.
It was just unbelievable.
Germany looked bad because of how well Algeria played.
Yes, I think it was more that than the other way around. I think it's too cheap to say that, you know, the Germans weren't up for it and therefore Algeria looked better. Algeria made a great showing of themselves this entire tournament, having basically never accomplished anything of significance on the world stage. I don't think they have to hold their heads high here.
I mean, like, you look at the team, teams on paper, and you look at what Germany has compared to Algeria has, and it's, you know, it's nothing. It's not even comparable. But it's the way they set up and the way they play. It's like how Costa Rica knocked off England, Italy, and Uruguay to get out of the group as well. It's just the way they have nothing on paper to compare to these players or these massive world soccer powers. But the way they set up the formation, the way they utilize their players, it's what, you know, any team who uses the right tactics can peg back any team of star power. Like,
yes,
like
I agree with you with the tactics. I think Bosnian Halohodzic was on point with his tactics, and he had his guys playing. You could feel their passion through the television screen, watching the way they ran and fought for each other. No shame in losing 2-1 to arguably the tournament favorite in a World Cup. Argentina, Switzerland, Maddie, another one. Kind of a dull game for the most part. It really picked up the last 10-15 minutes in extra time. Another Argentina goes through here, but another game where, you know, a favorite's not all that impressive. Just like Brazil, you know, just like Germany, nothing super spectacular from the Argentines.
Nope, and Angel Di Maria decided he'd finally do something substantial in this tournament.
Off of yet another play from Messi, too.
Yeah, it was. I felt a little heartbroken for the Swiss because they dug in there. They played quite well.
They even hit that post late to just make it more gut-wrenching.
Man, like, maybe we'll touch on that like in a second. Like, just talking about Di Maria's goal. You know, open foot, open his body up, slides it across the goalkeeper. Nice finish. Like you said, all of Messi's doing. That miss, though, in injury time, I mean, everyone's going, oh, Argentina are through, Argentina are through. And, you know, you should never say never in soccer. And, I mean, Switzerland nearly proved that. I don't know. I still saw a couple of replays, and I still don't know how that didn't go in off the post, off the guy's foot, and somehow trickles wide. Just, you know, gut-wrenching on two levels. You give up the late goal, which is devastating, but then to not somehow score there is even makes it even worse. Like
a similar feeling I'm imagining in the Swiss camps that Chile is going through right now. Rude chances.
Yeah, well, exactly, right. You know, Argentina, I guess, they haven't looked all that great to me. I pegged them going pretty deep in the tournament into the quarters and semis, but
they're still there.
They are there. I mean, they've won every game.
Yeah.
You know, they have, but it's just, they don't look all that great to me. They are getting nothing, essentially, though. I mean, Messi has 4 goals. They've only scored 6 goals all tournament. Di Maria has the goal from the weekend, and Hojo has the other goal. They've got nothing. And, like, we talk about how good they were up front going into tournament. Take out Messi, obviously. But Sergio Aguero,
Higuain,
and Lavezzi. It's actually embarrassing how bad they've been, especially Higuain, who, I mean, Argentina may as well be playing with 10 men when he's on the field. He's been that bad.
What's crazy is what you said, though, Matt. All that matters is winning and progressing. And if these guys show up at the right time just to get hot, you know, for the next 2 games, it's not all that unfathomable to see Argentina go in the finals.
No, it's not. I completely agree. But I do think if they are going to go that far,
they need to step up.
I mean, Aguero is injured. So, I mean, that obviously has a factor. But Higuain and Lavezzi, they got to do something. Because you can't score 6 goals through, what, 4 games now and expect to keep advancing when you play the big best countries in the world. And Argentina are going to have to get a lot better in the next round if they want to keep progressing in the World Cup.
Moving to the last round of 16 game, Belgium and USA. I don't think this one being competitive and, you know, super entertaining surprised either of us. We both kind of had it marked as almost the game to watch. I narrowly missed out, I guess, on my upset special, if you will. Actually, Maddie, just for our listeners and ourselves, we did much better this round. We went 6-8. You know, Greece, Costa Rica, we nearly got that one. I narrowly missed on Belgium and USA, and the only real miss we had was your Uruguay Colombia pick. So we did much better than we did.
Should have stuck to my guts. I changed that pick last minute or so.
What are your thoughts on Belgium USA? I mean, I think it's obvious that Belgium outplayed the Americans for large stretches, especially in regulation time. Probably a good 65-70 minutes were in their favor. But at the same time, as much as they outplayed them, they didn't score. It's a game about scoring. You got to score a goal to win a game. And realistically, they were very fortunate to not lose at the end on your boy Wondolowski.
Yeah, jeez.
He really, like, get that man in the lineup. And, oh, boy, when he missed that that sitter, I saw that, and I'm like, oh, there goes Belgium, and he skies it. Like, what happened there?
I haven't seen confirmation myself. But I was reading a lot of tweets on Twitter that apparently the linesman raised his flag for offside on that, which, A, was wrong. I mean, he was
not
offside.
Onside
by a mile. So, I mean, maybe for FIFA's sake, they're probably glad Wondolowski missed, because if he'd scored and the linesman would be like, I know he's offside,
let the conspiracies come back,
So, I mean, that's still not confirmed. It hasn't really been mentioned by anyone, but observers seem to suggest that the linesman did say he was offside. But nonetheless, that terrible miss by Wondolowski. Finally got his one chance, and he's taken it on the chin. I went to his Twitter page to see what he had to say, and, you know, he was obviously heartbroken, but he seemed to remain in positive spirits. I mean, you know, it's a team effort at the end of the day, and Tim Howard in goal was
unbelievable.
Phenomenal. 16 saves, which is a World Cup record.
He faced as many shots in this game as the U.S. had as a team in their three previous games on their opponent.
Tells you everything, right?
I mean, he's been phenomenal. I guess was phenomenal, unfortunately, for the Americans now, past tense.
It's funny if you go take a look. It's obviously Wikipedia. You can go in and change anything. But someone went to the U.S. Secretary of Defense Wikipedia page.
Tim Howard.
And put Tim Howard as new Secretary of Defense, which was just
reminds me on
fantastic.
NFL.com when I saw Joe Flacco's picture changed to Bert from Sesame Street. It's very funny, too. I will say this about the Americans. It's the American way, it seems. It sounds so cliche, but they showed no quit. Like, and they almost tied it late in extra time in that beautifully constructed set piece that just failed barely, like by the slimmest of margins, to come off for Dempsey. I mean, Belgium didn't give up a goal from play in the entire tournament save for a penalty, and the U.S. nearly pips them for 2 and 5 minutes at the end to force a shootout.
That green goal as well that U.S. scored was wonderful. Guy comes
fantastic.
On, World Cup debut, boom, 2 minutes, scores a lovely goal. I think you have a big part here. We mentioned Germany, how Schürrle scored 2 minutes into extra time. De Bruyne scored 3 minutes into extra time.
Yeah, it sets the tone.
It's a killer. And
to that end, I think we really need to shout out Lukaku. What an impactful sub he was. I mean, in the manner of 7 minutes coming on the field, he's constructed two goals in a game that was 0-0.
And the other thing as well is, like, we mentioned how early Belgium scored. And as we know, as soccer fans, that goals rather than halftime kill you too. And that's when Lukaku
team
scored.
Morale,
It changes everything, you know. You know, if Lukaku doesn't score, Green ties it at 1-1 early second half of the extra time. And who knows what happens. But suddenly USA are down 2-0. They're down 2-1. Still trying to play catch up. I know. I guess one other thing, you know, from our Toronto perspective up here, Michael Bradley, Rob, I don't think he was great this tournament. I think I read an article the other day that said, you know, with Donovan not playing, he was kind of forced to play a more attacking role, which is not where he's comfortable. He's more, obviously, more of a much more central midfielder. So, and I think he played further up the field a little too much for my liking. And I think that was because of the Donovan absence, as well as then, obviously, Altidore going down too. I guess what I'm trying to say is I don't think Bradley was quite as good as, you know, we know him to be. But, you know, I mean, I think as a team, the USA can hold their heads high, because they had a great tournament. And I think, you know, moving forward, they're going to continue to get better and better here.
I agree. For large stretches of the tournament, I mean, he didn't have the same impact that you and I would both expect him to.
Right.
But I think his criticism is also, you know, a little bit too much in some ways.
People expect too much of him.
He
sometimes set
up that American goal on a perfect chip through ball against the Belgians. Fantastic play.
Yeah.
He also constructed the brilliant free kick that they nearly scored on. And he was, you know, really, I think, influential as a leader for them in that Belgium game, keeping them, like, pushing them forward. I think he had his moments, but, you know, kind of like when we talked about Gerrard earlier, you expect better from guys who are this good.
Yeah, I think he was just played out of position by Klinsmann.
A little too
high for my liking. And, you know, up here with Ryan Nelson, he kind of sits behind Defoe and a couple of other guys and, you know, spreads the ball out wide and up front. So, but nonetheless, you know, I mean, the USA, I had a friend make a bold statement that the USA would win a World Cup within the next 20 years. So he's predicting to win one of the next 5 World Cups. A little maybe too bold for my liking, especially considering, you know, soccer in the US is still always behind the NFL, baseball,
I will say
basketball,
this, if they host another one, you never know.
Well, exactly. And, you know, with the Qatar situation, there's rumors that, you know, the US are going to get that World Cup.
And
so,
if you saw the fan pictures on Twitter, it was
phenomenal.
You know,
they're filling up
their
soccer stadiums. Some NFL stadiums opened up. I mean,
more viewers for this than the NBA Finals.
Yeah. That tells you what you need to know, right? I mean, soccer really is on the rise here in the US.
So, Maddie, moving on to what we have left. We're down to the final 8, the Elite 8, if you will. Brazil-Colombia first game. I think it's going to be a fantastic game.
Two South American countries again.
Yeah, I honestly, at this point at least, I think Colombia is better than Brazil. I really think they're a better team. I think they're playing better football.
But can you pick them to win?
I can't.
Question.
Not in Brazil. Not based on the fact that I have Brazil winning this tournament. I think that, you know, fortune is going to continue to shine on the Brazilians if they need it. And I have them winning a close game against Colombians.
Yeah, I also am taking Brazil here. It pains me to actually eliminate Colombia here because I think if they were playing almost anyone else.
As a neutral, maybe I would love Germany, to see them progress.
Oh, I would too. It would be phenomenal for the World Cup. Not so much in Brazil, obviously, yeah. But for everyone else outside of Brazil, it would be phenomenal. I think that's a team people are riding on now, like along with Costa Rica. Like the neutral like fan support is with Colombia and Costa Rica. But no, I have Brazil going through here. This could be like a very close game. This could also be a game that, like the Chile game, might even go to penalties.
Extra time, yeah. Matt, what about Germany and France? France has kind of been the team you've been talking up since the tournament began, but it's also going against the team that you picked to win it all. Have the French shown you enough that, you know, you're going to change your mind on this? I know you were kind of waffling a little bit. What are your thoughts on that match?
I'm picking Germany, but this is the hardest decision I made for this World Cup and who to advance here. I think my concern with France is that Benzema's kind of dropped off the last couple of games.
Similar to Messi, he's been doing a lot for Argentina. He's not getting a lot of goal-scoring support.
Yeah, Benzema's not getting much. You know, Matuidi, Mathieu Valbuena, I must add, has been phenomenal for France, the Marseille winger. France have looked good all tournament for me, but I think Germany just are superior in every area. And even though Germany looked a little uninspired against Algeria, partly because of how well Algeria played, I think Germany just overall are a better side. So I expect them to pip their European rivals.
Another close match?
Yeah, I
2-1. Don't...
Yeah, this doesn't have extra time written for me, though. This looks like a 90-minute decision, but I don't expect this to be... I expect this to be extremely close, yeah.
I'm with you. I have the same semifinals on paper that I think we both had since the beginning. Brazil-Germany. That's what we've been calling.
Yeah.
Now, the other side where things get a little bit more interesting. Holland-Costa Rica. Holland... They were disappointing for large stretches against Mexico. They came through when they needed to. I think they were second best for, honestly, a large stretch of that match. Is there any way Costa Rica can do something here?
Based
on what they've accomplished?
You have to say yes to that, I guess, right? I mean, Luis keeps it going, Campbell, Urena, Duarte. I do think this is where the Cinderella run ends for Costa Rica. There's just too much up front for Holland. You know, you got Van Persie, Robin, Schneider, Huntelaar. Memphis Depay has played well too. I just think this is where it's going to come to an end for Costa Rica. I think Holland are just overall just in a better shape. They're a better team. They've dominated in a lot of time in this World Cup too. Maybe not so much against Mexico as we mentioned, but in the group stage they were very, very, very good. And I expect we'll see the Holland that we've come to expect here against Costa Rica in the quarters.
Yeah, I can't imagine Holland passing up this opportunity to get back to a semifinal. Not to take anything away from the Costa Ricans, but at the start of the tournament, if Holland was presented with this opportunity, they'd be taking it with open arms, beating Costa Rica to get to the semis.
Definitely.
I see the same. I think they just have too much offense. I think maybe the Mexico scare might get them a little bit more back on track here,
yeah,
and taking teams a little more seriously after thinking they had, you know, greater challenges within their group. I have Holland going through as well. The last game, Argentina-Belgium. Before we get into this, Matt, honestly, it would not surprise me if all these games are super close and we have a bunch of extra time again.
No, me neither. I think France-Germany will be in 90 minutes, but Brazil-Colombia has penalties, extra time written all over it, in my opinion. Netherlands...
Who knows?
I would say that they should deal with Costa Rica in the 90 minutes. Argentina-Belgium, the last game here, This game
has nine shooters deep in penalties written, potentially.
I'm not even sure how to even start breaking down this game to some extent, because both teams have won every game in this World Cup, but they've looked, you know, so bad for a good chunk of it, too. And they just keep getting results. They're not scoring lots of goals.
Yeah, they're really reflections of each other in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Ironically enough, too, Matt, we each peg these teams as our World Cup runners-up. And now they're facing off, and they've been equally inconsistent, albeit all wins.
I know. And, like, Belgium, they've had... what have I got here? Six different goal scorers, and they've only scored one. They haven't had a guy who scored two goals in this tournament. So both teams have scored six goals for their four games.
Yeah,
so far.
I mean, predominantly for Argentina, of course, coming through Messi. Sometimes you think scoring by committee is better, but the other problem is you don't have that impactful guy finishing and, you know, really taking the reins. I have to say, overall, I've been pretty disappointed with Hazard too.
Yeah, I mean, he hasn't scored in this tournament.
Yeah, and he hasn't created that much when I've watched.
Yeah, I think Belgium, for the most part, have kind of been uninspired, which, you know, considering I picked them to go to the final, I'm surprised at how bad they've been. Maybe this wasn't too early for them. Maybe Euro 2016 is really when we're seeing them, you know, really make that. I mean, they're still in this tournament,
yeah,
in the quarterfinals.
I think with a good chance here. This might be as close as you get to a coin flip, Matt.
Yeah, I do agree with you there.
I had Argentina-Brazil final. I'm sticking with it. These two teams are equally inconsistent, I guess,
yeah, that's
if you will.
Yep.
Extra time for me would not surprise me whatsoever. I think slight edge to the South Americans on South American soil. In a game when I have a hard time picking between the two teams, I'll pick the team who has the best player, and that's Lionel Messi.
Yeah, that's probably not the bad way to decide it. This is when our allegiance breaks off here. I am taking Belgium. I just think overall they've looked a little better than Argentina have. If you take out Messi, I don't know what you can really say Argentina have done. Whereas Belgium have had contributions from other players like Fellaini, Lukaku. Vertonghen has got on the scoreboard too, and they've looked okay at the back. Courtois has played quite well in goal for Belgium too. So
a few times he's been challenged. Their defense has been great.
Yeah, exactly right. So I just think overall Belgium are just gonna shut it down. This has 1-0, 2-1 written all over it. Don't expect many goals here, but it's going to be close, and extra time penalties wouldn't surprise me here, but I do have Belgium advancing to the semis here.
So we agree on three of the four here. Not too bad.
Not 100% this time.
The Argentina-Belgium one, I think, is the most compelling matchup to see how that one plays out. Matt, we're out of time again. It just flies by
every single time.
So we will be back next week to go over how these games played out. Look into our semifinals matchups.
Semis would have already been played. Semis are Tuesday and Wednesday. Final, third place game is Saturday.
Oh, before our show, yeah, we're already going to be through. So we're going to review what's already been played then.
Yeah, so quarters and semis, and then we're
footy roundup adjusting on the fly.
There you go. Teamwork is at its best.
And then we'll have a big preview for the final, as long as Matt tells me that's correct.
Yep. And the third place game we have too.
Yeah, as well as a recap, I guess, of all the things we've seen this tournament that have caught our eye, our biggest surprises, disappointments, and, you know, maybe five memorable moments or incidents of the tournament. Rob Serjanik and Matt Tidcombe, Footy Roundup, signing off. Thanks for listening.